words.
Today we continue to read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 21, entitled Instructions by Maharaja Prithu, Text 22. Aham Danda Daro Raja. King Prithu continued, by the grace of the Supreme Lord, I have been appointed the king of this planet and I carry the scepter to rule the citizens, protect them from all danger and give them employment according to their respective positions in the social order established by the Vedic injunction. Therefore, a king is supposed to be appointed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to look after the interests of his particular planet. On every planet there is a predominating person, just as we now see that in every country there is a president. If one is president or king, it should be understood that this opportunity has been given to him by the Supreme Lord. According to the Vedic system, the king is considered a representative of Godhead and is offered respects by the citizens as God in human form of life. Actually, according to Vedic information, the Supreme Lord maintains all living entities, and especially human beings, to elevate them to the highest perfection. After many, many births in lower species, when a living entity evolves to the human form of life, and in particular to the civilized human form of life, his society must be divided into four gradations, as ordered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead in Bhagavad Gita. Chaturvarnyam, Maya, Srishtam, etc. The four social orders, the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas and Shudras, are natural divisions of human society, and as declared by Prithu Maharaja, every man in his respective social order must have proper employment for his livelihood. It is a duty of the king or the government to ensure that the people observe the social order and that they are also employed in their respective occupational duties. In modern times, since the protection of the government or the king has been withdrawn, social order has practically collapsed. No one knows who is a Brahmana, who is a Kshatriya, who is a Vaishya, or who is a Shudra. And people claim to belong to a particular social order by birthright only. It is the duty of the government to re-establish social order in terms of occupational duties and the modes of material nature. For that will make the entire world population actually civilized. If it does not observe the institutional functions of the four social orders, human society is no better than animal society, in which there is never tranquility, peace and prosperity, but only chaos and confusion. Maharaja Prithu, as an ideal king, strictly observed the maintenance of the Vedic social order. Prajayate iti praja. The word praja refers to one who takes birth. Therefore, Prithu Maharaja guaranteed protection for prajana, all living entities who took birth in his kingdom. Praja refers not only to human beings, but also to animals, trees, and every other living entity. It is the duty of the king to give all living entities protection and food. The fools and rascals of modern society have no knowledge of the extent of the responsibility of the government. Animals are also citizens of the land in which they appear to be born, and they also have the right to continue their existence at the cost of the Supreme Lord. The disturbance of the animal population by wholesale slaughter produces a catastrophic future reaction for the butcher, his land and his government. Umajnana Timirandasya Jnana Jana Shalakaya Chakshurandritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svarparantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Uttarapadakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamascha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tham Sajivam Sarvaitam Sarvantam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Tham Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namaskute Takta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishavanu Sute Devi Pranamami Haripriye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyascha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita the austerity of speech to be those words which are spoken which don't agitate others. It must be fruitful, pleasing and beneficial. So Prithu Maharaj, his handsome features were explained in the previous verses, and in the previous chapter we saw how he took darshan of the Lord by the dint of his spiritual qualities. That's what attracted the Lord. In addition to his physical beauty, he is also ornamented by the saintly qualities. Mariyada Pavana Sadhura Bhushan. These are also ornaments of a saintly person, the saintly qualities that he carries. As Chukadeva was explaining yesterday, Prithu Maharaj would have ordered the whole citizens. He didn't do it. He is going to give a very strong message related to how the people in general must follow religion, and they must be subservient to the Supreme Lord. It is the duty of the king to give such knowledge to the citizens that he is ruling. So, as a part of his duty, he is meant to instruct, and he has the entire power to instruct them in a very commanding way. Still, what does he do? He puts forward as if it is a request. He is saying in this verse that because the Supreme Lord has given me this particular role, I have been appointed as the king of this planet by the grace of the Supreme Lord. So he acknowledges that first. How did I become a king? Not by my own power, but by the grace of the Lord, I have been appointed as a king. And he is not here to impress the citizens so that next time they will vote for him again. That's not the whole objective. He is not going to promise them that everybody will get employment, so next time vote for me. No, here we are talking about Prithu Maharaj genuinely concerned about the welfare of all the citizens. And as Prabhupada is explaining in the purport, when the human society is more civilized, they will start to follow the four Varna and Ashrama, which we look at in detail. So, he is assuring that I will protect you from all danger, first thing, and then second is, I am going to give employment according to your respective positions in the social order. And these are established in the Vedic injunction. So he is not here to secure his own bank. He is genuinely, out of his compassion, he is going to instruct the citizens. But he is doing it in such a nice way that the citizens are more likely to take it. Earlier was described that some people will naturally be envious, but he is not concerned about them. He is concerned about those who are going to take this advice seriously. As the speech progresses, it will unfold that Prithu Maharaj will prove scientifically the presence of God, and he will encourage the population to take up the Varnashram system. And for their own benefit, they should do it. And he will plead to them that, as a king, I will also get some reaction. If you do good, I'll get good. If you do something bad, as a king, I'll also get something bad. So, for your own well-being and for my well-being, please follow the Varnashram system. So, here is a situation where the Vedic Varnashram is put in practice. As we know that the social order functions based on the four types of your stage in your family life, which we call as the Ashrama. That is the spiritual side, which stage of life you are in. You can be a student, or you could be married, or you could be retired, or you could be renounced. So you will fall under any of these categories in terms of your married life situation. And that part is the spiritual part. Then, what do I do the rest of the day? So we have 24 hours, all of us have 24 hours a day. If we divide it by 3, you get 8 hours. So if we spend 8 hours for maintenance of the body, 8 hours in spirituality, then what am I going to do the rest of the 8 hours? How will I make my living? How will I get my bread? How will I have a roof on top of my head? How will I pay my mortgage? Now, if that 8 hours, if that is secure, then as Prabhupada explained, one can practice that remaining 8 hours of spirituality with a cool head. If the occupational security is not there, then persons will not be having that cool brain to practice the ashram, which is the spiritual part of the varnashram. So the occupational groups are divided according to the nature that you have. And that's exactly what Prithu Maharaj is saying. I will not make all of you work in factories or as the recent trend. I will not take away your jobs and give it to some third world countries so that I can improve the economy. He's not doing all that. He is directly saying that, okay, I'm going to employ all of you, I'm going to secure you, give protection, and I'll employ you according to the varna, the nature that you have. So according to the guna and karma, the nature and the activities that a person does, the varna is determined, where we have the priestly and the teachers category. Then we have the administrators or the protectors or the rulers. Then we have the mercantile community who actually take care of cow protection and also they do merchantry. They have that as a profession. And then we have laborers or the artistic or skilled people who are willing to give their skills as a part of service to the rest of the three occupation groups. So we have the priestly class, we have the administrative class, we have the mercantile class, and we have the working class. So in Sanskrit it's called as Brahmanas. The priestly class, then the Kshatriyas, the rulers of the warriors, then the Vaishyas, the mercantile and the farming, and the Shudras or the laborers or the artisans, where they have some kind of skill they can offer to the rest of the three occupational groups. So this is the ideal setup where we see the Vedic Varnashram is put in practice, because at that time period the circumstances allowed that they were able to have the fortune of a good king, and then they had the fortune of having the brain in the society, which Prabhupada calls as the Brahmanas. The Brahmanas are called as the brain, and because that is also properly in place, and the king is also a saintly king, he's a Raja Rishi. So that is why here what we are seeing is the ideal Varnashram system, where the goal is to please the Lord. Varnashram acharana vata purushena parakumar Vishnu aradhyate tanta nanya tattosha karma. One can worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu by proper discharge of the principles of Varna and Ashrama. Just by properly executing the duties of your respective Varna and Ashrama, you can worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So here we see that the aim of the division is not to suppress people or to take away their rights, but the aim is to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is easy to work alone, but as a society, all the four Varna Ashrama cooperating together to serve the Lord, that is the hardest part. And that is why proper guidance is required. So, the four varnas and ashramas exist so that they please the Supreme Lord. So that's the aim. And this is the quote from the Vishnu Purana, and it is widely quoted in Bhagavatam and also in Chaitanya Charitamrita, where there's a conversation between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda. Now, this civilization was possible because the proper purificatory process were in place. We have purificatory process right from the conception of a child, and after that the child is born, then there is Namakarana, then there is Upanayana and all that. Because the whole society followed all the purificatory processes or the samskaras, so that is why there was a good population, and that is also another reason why the Vedic Varnashram was possible. Now, Prabhupada explains that in the Kali Yuga, there are no such purificatory processes, but still people are claiming to be that I am Brahmana, I am so and so, I am this and that, but actually Kala, Shudra, Sambhava. Everybody in the Kali Yuga is a Shudra or a lowborn. Now, how do we start practicing spirituality in this Kali Yuga, and how does the concept of Varnashram, does it even exist in any shape or form? And how do we follow the ideal standards which are there in the scriptures? So that is why we need the help of an Acharya like Srila Prabhupada to give us a Kali Yuga version of Varnashram. Before we look at Srila Prabhupada's version, let's see how the concept of the social division is present in a very subtle form throughout the world. Prabhupada explained, just as the sunshine everywhere, the concept of division in the society also exists everywhere. People don't realize it, but it is present in a dormant or a subtle form. This was in the 1970s, early 1970s, where Srila Prabhupada gets an invitation to go to Russia, and one of the professors, Professor Kotovsky, whom Srila Prabhupada quotes often, not for good reasons, but for reasons where he's such a big professor, but he still doesn't understand the purpose of human life. So this professor invites Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada gets an invitation. The professor did not expect that Prabhupada would come, but Prabhupada grabbed the opportunity to go to Russia. Here is an invitation, let me go. Then when Professor Kotovsky saw Srila Prabhupada, he was taken back, like, oh, I didn't expect him to come and then have a big program. So he kind of backed off, because still it was the communist rule happening. So Prabhupada can't do big level programs. As usual, Prabhupada was not shaken. That 5 days that he got was enough for him to ignite the spark of Krishna consciousness in the heart of few devotees there. And now we see how much the congregation in Russia has grown. So, when talking to that professor, Prabhupada makes this point as to how here you are an educator, you are sitting in one place, and in your country there are some persons who are doing farming, and some are your social leaders, but still you yourself are propagating the concept of a classless society. So Prabhupada was logically arguing as to how the classes of men exist everywhere. He's bringing about, you are an educator and somebody is maintaining the whole institution, administering it. Somebody is working in the farm so that you get the grains, and then someone else is doing the low level work also. Professor was not willing to budge. So Prabhupada made him agree to one thing. He said, you accept Stalin and Marx as your authority, we accept Krishna as authority. So both of us accept some kind of authority. So that I can agree. So Prabhupada was making this point as to how this varnashram system is prevalent, but it is in a dormant form even outside India. But the key difference is that God is taken out of the picture. The social division is there, but God is out of the picture, and the division just exists so that it can serve the purpose of few materialists. So that's how there's one version of varnashram which is existing, where people doesn't know that it's existing, but it's still prevalent. But the key difference between Vedic and this dormant varnashram is that God is taken out of the picture. He's not there. The other version that is very prevalent in India is that aspect of worshipping God is there, but the purpose of that is not to please the Lord. In fact, I am brought up in that kind of a culture where if there's any issue in your life, okay, look up some kind of type of a puja or some kind of a ceremony, ask some priest, what to do? I have this type of problem in my life, then what type of worship should I do? I need to get some money or property or a nice spouse, what should I do? Now the idea is that God is brought in the picture, but He becomes your order supplier. You are asking God to supply what you want, and you are approaching God with attitude of extracting something from Him, not with the idea of loving God. So this is a materialistic or motivated version of varnashram, where God is in the picture, but you are not His servant, but He is your servant. You are expecting Him to serve you. And the second way it got misused and got bad reputation is because people started to claim themselves to be of a higher social order just by the thing of being taken birth in a particular family. So citing my own example, the college that I studied used to be run by the Smartha Brahmanas. So they would always have a kind of distance. They have their separate groups, and those who would not, according to their standards of the high birth, they will be kept a little distance. There's always some kind of separation which is there. And then you are also, but the good side of that is at least they are following the scriptures. The aspect of cleanliness, non-violence, the protection of the cows and all that is there. So that's where I picked up at least the concept of becoming a vegetarian. That's a good side of it. Although there was some kind of discrimination, but being in their association, at least I could come to the point, okay, I should not commit violence. I started to at least practice vegetarianism. So that is the good side. So we have seen so far the Vedic style of Varnashram, then the prevalent dormant Varnashram which is there, present, but not everyone knows about it. And then the third is the materialistic side of Varnashram, where you start to brand people based on their birth and you start to discriminate certain set of people because they have not taken birth in a particular family. And they, such people who got discriminated against, they were not quite happy with that system. And that is why the whole Varnashram system, it is given a bad image because it is misapplied. Now when Prabhupada started to introduce the way that the style that he used to introduce Krishna consciousness and later on Varnashram, it had a bit of contradicting statements in different time periods. So initial period when Prabhupada was starting his preaching mission, he was focused on getting the head, which is the priestly or the saintly class, back in the society. That was his key focus. And that's why during the period of 1966-1973, Prabhupada makes statements like this. Forget Varnashram, chanting Hare Krishna is the panacea. So note the time period, this is during 1966-73. Where Prabhupada's focus at that time was to get the basic human standards. As quoted in this purport, the Varnashram system can be introduced when the humans are becoming more and more civilized. The social orders, division, and then the concept of keeping God in the center, all can be introduced when people are living up to the standard of humans. So which goes on to prove that at that stage Prabhupada was struggling to bring about that basic minimum standard. So at that stage Prabhupada said implementing Varnashram is not possible. So this is from a lecture in 1968, Bhagavad Gita verse 3.18-30, where Prabhupada says, therefore this is the panacea, to engage everyone in Krishna consciousness and chanting Hare Krishna. This is the only remedy. Now you cannot again introduce the system of Varnashram. So Prabhupada is saying this in December 1968. Because at that time his focus was on getting the head back in the society. So at that time he made these statements. The best part is that for chanting Hare Krishna, there is no time, place, circumstance or restriction based on caste or creed or gender. Prabhupada was giving the qualification for people outside India to qualify themselves to raise up to the standards. And that's why if you observe his style, he did not emphasize on the don'ts first. He emphasized on the do's. Chant Hare Krishna, take prasad, participate in the kirtan, participate in the harinam. These are all do's. He did not straight away the first day he went, introduce the four regulations. No illicit sex, no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling. Prabhupada said, if I said this, people would have said, Swamiji, please go back. We don't want you here. So his style was different from his other godbrothers. So he had a vision, so he started to introduce holy names and holy books. That was his idea, where it was actually the weapon of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then to qualify themselves to the platform where they can start to look at the regulative principles as the regulative principles of freedom rather than restriction. So he gave them the opportunity, equal opportunity, then made them qualified to the level of Brahmanas also. Then, when the movement is starting to gain more momentum and more people are starting to join, later period, let's see how Prabhupada makes, turns around and says something exactly the opposite. This is during 1974 and 1976 where he says, we must establish Varnashram. Humanity is in chaos. So, here is where the Acharya is applying the timeless principles according to time, country and candidate. When he is seeing that the movement is starting to spread, and I can picture Prabhupada just like Prithu Maharaj, he is envisioning that, okay, now I have expanded, now I need to take care of the different sets of people who have different guna and karma. Now is the time that I must introduce this social division and order, and that way I will implement the fourth phase, because Prabhupada had different phases of implementing his strategy, and the fourth phase is the Varnashram. One of the reasons why it's controversial is because the statements which Prabhupada himself made at different times differ. So in 1974, that's where he says his point about cool brain. This is a quote from the morning walk. The Varnashrama college has to be established immediately. Everywhere, wherever we have got our center, a Varnashrama college should be established to train four divisions. Because if people are in chaos, how they will be able to accept the great philosophy? It requires a cool brain. So unless that 8 hours of occupation, where will I go, what will I do, how will I gain my living? If that 8 hours is satisfied, then the remaining 8 hours of maintaining your body and then 8 hours of spirituality will be in place. Because not all of them cannot live without worrying about, or to renounce, not to worry about making a living. A few of them can, but not all of them can. So that is why this has to be, the Varnashram system has to be implemented. So, because the purposes of ISKCON talk a lot about education, Prabhupada started implementing Varnashram by implementing Varnashram college. If you look at our current social structure, taking Melbourne for example, what are some of the famous universities or colleges in Melbourne? Can you name some of them?
Melbourne University.
Melbourne University. Anything else? RMIT. Monash, Latrobe, Swinburne. Now if you look at the culture, what they have done is they have created an education system where the education related to information technology, accounting, biochemistry, all that is being taught, and it is being marketed as a way that this is how you should be living your lifestyle, and these are the companies that you will get into after you finish your degrees, and here are the companies right in the CBD, companies like Microsoft, Deloitte, Dell, KPMG, you name it, they are there in the CBD. So if you come and study with us, you are covered, your whole life is taken care of. Just take up the study, change your lifestyle, dress, everything, and the way of thinking, then by this change your life is secure. So they have created a structure where they are creating also a culture where this is how you live, then your whole life is taken care of, and this is how your future will also be secured. So educational institutions and the corresponding companies or the giants who can employ you. So for us to turn the tides or to make a revolution, Prabhupada also starts from, okay, we have to create a college where we are able to train people based on their quality and the type of work they do, based on the guna and karma. So if we start off by creating Varnashram colleges and show people that here is an educational institution that can train you, and here is a working model where we have land and we have people who are, after they get trained, this is what they do, and they are able to live a sustained lifestyle based on what they have learned. If we create that working model and show the society, okay, this is what we preach and this is how we live, then when we walk the talk, then the society will take notice, okay, yes, these people not only give philosophy, they also have a working model. So that's why the emphasis was started based on educating and creating Varnashram colleges. In terms of discrimination, Prabhupada did not encourage, and he spoke strongly against it. So his model is that not to discriminate based on their birth, and especially not to treat the Shudras in a disrespectful manner. All Varnas should respect each other and all Ashramas should respect each other. This is a quote from 1975 conversation with an Indian governor. So Indian governor, he is in a very high position, and Prabhupada is instructing him about how there is a mistreatment within the social order. The Sudras were hated like anything, so they became Mohammedans. Now the result is that you and Pakistan go on fighting forever. So we can see how relevant it is now. There's the enmity between the two countries is very strong, and recently there was also an attack against the Indian soldiers. The root cause is that hatred between the classes, and one class trying to suppress the other, and they get frustrated, and we said, okay, we will change our religion, change our culture, we'll go to a different country, and now we will fight against you. You oppressed us, now we push you back. So Prabhupada's emphasis was more on mutual respect between varnas. So he started off with this, we established a college, but in that college we will not discriminate. We will encourage people from all walks of life to come in and take part. And the training will also not only be only in the classrooms, but also more hands-on. According to your guna and karma, you will be trained. And you will also be given a facility of his vision was that to create the culture of living off the land, where you start producing enough for yourself, self-sustaining. Then over and above anything that's there, you can sell them and make a living. Another significant culture change that Prabhupada wanted in his Daivi Varnashram, which is the customized version, Kali Yuga version of Varnashram, is small scale farming. Because when you try to do farming in big scale, as Nanda Mandir Prabhu was mentioning a few days ago, where they have to produce in large scale, have to store in large scale, transport in large scale, so it all has to be, becomes too commercialized, so the farmers are forced to use pesticides and all kind of artificial things and artificial storage. So, but on the contrast, if we look at a small scale subsistence farming, where you don't have to pressure, you don't have the pressure of producing in big quantities, you can use everything natural. That is also another key concept where Prabhupada wanted to introduce. You don't have to maintain big tractors, you don't have to rely heavily on the migration population to come and work for you. You have a small scale subsistence farming style, and that's the model. The farmers don't get into debt, and in India we have this tragedy of farmers committing suicide because they can't repay the debt to the government. So all that gets fixed by taking up this idea of a small scale farming. Then the emphasis on protecting cows, as mentioned in this purport, every living being in the in your country is a citizen, praja, every living being, not only human beings. So instead of thinking that the cow and the ox are waste and they are a burden on the society, cow at least gives milk, but the ox doesn't do anything. So better we kill the bull and then feed many people. That's the current culture. But instead of that, if the bull is treated as the father and the cow is treated as the mother, and Prabhupada explains, when the Brahmanical culture is protected, then Krishna will be satisfied. So bulls have to be engaged properly. They like to work hard. And even after they have finished their active contribution to agriculture, they are still not a waste. If you have the vision, you can look at how they are actually a wealth. I was looking at the video from the ISKCON Cow Protection Ministry, where His Grace Damodar Leela Prabhu was mentioning, even after a bull can't work in the field, still the cow urine and the cow dung that he produces are very valuable. If you know that value and use that properly, it is like wealth. He also gives Shastric examples as to how the different demigods have taken shelter of Mother Cow in her different bodily parts. And Mother Lakshmi was a bit morose that she couldn't find a place there, and then she asked Mother Cow to give a place, and then Mother Cow gives her a place in her cow dung. So those who keep cow dung and cow urine at their home and use it properly, even for material purposes, they wouldn't run out of wealth. So this is what, if you want to see the utility and how they contribute to the society as a whole, then you wouldn't get into this culture of killing cows and bulls. And that is how we will transition into this concept, where it was in a theory, but then within ISKCON we have ISKCON Varnashram Ministry, which has studied Srila Prabhupada's books, taken the concepts and have a working model. We have a Varnashram College in South India, in Karnataka, and His Holiness Bhakti Raghava Swami is working on this project, and there is also a ISKCON Cow Protection Ministry. They have their own ways of creating this culture, and interestingly, the government in India is starting to to ban cow slaughter. And so there is some favorable support also from the government. So through that, the vision of Prabhupada's Dayavarnashram is not only in paper, but is also being put into practice. And these two ministries are using innovative means where devotees who don't have that physical ability to work on the field, they can still contribute to those projects by using your skills in terms of developing websites or developing mobile apps, or if you have business skills, you can use them. So whatever is being produced, you can meet the vendors and convince them to buy. So in their website, actually they are saying that they are welcoming householders to come and settle down, and they are willing to give guidance and that initial support, because it's not easy for people who have been born and brought up in the city to make that transition. But the ministry is giving that particular guidance and support and education. And it's not that all of you have to go to the field and start plowing and get into agriculture. If you can, it's okay, but if you can't, then there are other avenues by which you can contribute. And there is a proper Varnashram college, and they do have different projects, like the Varnashram Ministry website, as well as Gomata project, which has even apps through which it can be, mobile apps through which it can be made popular. Interestingly, one family who lived in Sydney when I was there, they relocated for personal reasons to Hyderabad, and they had their own family business, and along with that, the family, they got interested in Bhakti Rao Maharaj's project, started helping him, and later both of them got initiated by Maharaj. So the husband runs his own business and supports the project. The wife, she had IT skills, she developed the entire website for them. So the Varnashram Ministry website was mostly developed by her. So this, I've seen real examples where some devotees have taken that transition to go and take up this kind of lifestyle. As Prabhupada says, let's start to live as how Krishna lived. Now, one may get disheartened that, okay, I can't make the transition, I can't go to the villages. Prabhupada encourages those who can't make the transition also, okay, live in the cities and you help in the preaching process. So, if we are living in the cities, so then that's our duty to help in the preaching. And if you look at it, the whole implementation of Varnashram and creating this entire model is also a powerful way of preaching. It will help not only the devotees within our society, but the whole population at large. That is how Prabhupada envisioned that if we have to preach to the mass, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu desired, we have to implement this. And it is becoming a Vaishnava is not so easy. You need to have a Varnashram system. Then he says, then why there are so many fall downs then? So becoming a Vaishnava is not easy. So you need to have this support system whereby you have your occupational needs satisfied. And with that cool brain, you can go back and do the spirit. You can take care of your spiritual side also. So this phase of Varnashram is being slowly implemented, and devotees who would like to help can look up this kind of Varnashram ministry and the cow protection ministry. I conclude this last point. The cow protection ministry have done a revolutionary thing where they have created a concept called, just like book distribution has got book marathon, the corporate protection ministry, they have created what is called as a gopathon. So what this means is you go into a farm or a goshala, you spend a whole day, a couple of days, live the life of a gopa or a gopi, where you take care of the cows, clean the goshala, feed them, you spend that whole day with the family there and see what it feels like. And they have this concept, and where different goshalas or places where they have this facility, it's like a culture, you create this and then you invite 4 or 5 families, go together to that particular goshala and then start doing it. So if each family does one weekend, so then the you will also feel nourished, and then we can also support those devotees who are actually in the field and doing the work. So I'll conclude there and see if there are any comments or questions on what we discussed.
I know there are activities mentioned for each section of a varna. But the problem with establishing varna, in my opinion, is not establishing it but maintaining it. And I think that's what has happened before as well. It's because when the brahmanas and the kshatriyas, who were the advisors to the ruling and the ruling class themselves, couldn't keep Krishna in the center of their duty, that's when everything in the varna system descended down to reward, and everything descends down to reward. The social perception of the varna changes, and it's only influenced by the reward that they get. That is why the Shudras started to be like the downtrodden society, and the Brahmanas are earning more because of their role, started to be more important. And I think and second thing is, how do you say that amongst the people sitting here, 3 of them should be Brahmanas, 4 of them should be Shudras, and 2 of them should be Vaishyas? If that, and when you start doing it, probably after 2 years it will be good, but after 5 years there will be an algorithm. And that's probably what happened as well, which is why people just started going back to, maybe if they're born in that family, that's the easiest way to determine that he's a Brahmin or he's a Kshatriya.
Yeah, the key point that I forgot to mention is, irrespective of the guna and karma that you exhibit, all of them need a spiritual master. Right? So you start to become a human, then there are qualities described, and Bhishmadeva actually advises Maharaj Yudhishthir. In that section purport, we can see the 9 qualities of a human being. To be forgiving, not to be angry, being kind to his subordinates and peers. That is one of the qualities. So, 2 points is, one, you need to accept a spiritual master who will tell what is your conditioned nature and what is your constitutional nature. We may assume our conditional nature to be our actual nature and we may stick with it. But if we accept the authority of a spiritual master, so then they will actually determine the varna and the ashrama, and it won't be an algorithm, or it won't be a random pick saying, okay, you people like this and you will be like this. So the teacher in the Gurukul observes the nature of every student, and accordingly they will be given a particular profession, and they will be encouraged to do that. If that's a natural inclination, then they are encouraged in that. Now, if you don't have that ideal Gurukul lifestyle, so that's why we accept a spiritual master who can, through his spiritual vision, understand, okay, this is this particular person's nature, and he will engage us in those particular services. Initially, you will be engaged in all types of services so that you learn the qualities, what is needed. Then, over a period, you exhibit certain qualities and accordingly you will be engaged. So, it will not be a random algorithm that will work to divide people, but it will be a personal one-to-one guidance given to you. But you need to take a crucial step of first accepting Srila Prabhupada as a foundational spiritual master, Siksha Guru. Then take that important step of Prabhupada Ashraya. Then, once you have a solid understanding of Srila Prabhupada's teachings, based on his teachings, whichever disciple of Srila Prabhupada inspires you the most to connect you to Srila Prabhupada, you accept him as a spiritual master, then go through that process. So, that is possible for all of us sitting in this room. Whereas if some random logic splits them into this, so then it's going to be a problem. And that's why within ISKCON we have facilities for engaging devotees in different kinds of services.
Thank you for the class. So you mentioned that the virtue of speech is to be truthful and the speech
beneficial.
Yeah. But then sometimes truthful words agitate others, the speech shouldn't agitate others.
Yes.
So how do we actually understand this?
Yeah, in that verse, purport, 17:15, that's the verse, Anubhaya Karambhakya. So it should be Satyam, Priyam, Hitam, then the not agitating. So Prabhupada gives, there's one exception where there's a guru, when he's instructing, it may agitate the disciple. So, but even the guru should not instruct a student who is not his disciple yet. Which means, for us, if we don't have that relationship and we know that it's going to agitate them, so it's better not to tell them directly, but to tell to someone else who will tell them. So even though it is going to be beneficial, it is the truth, but it is not going to be pleasing and it is going to agitate others, so then I would say it is a test for our urge to speak or our vachovegam. So I will take that this is a test for me. But at the same time, we need to get service done and we need to probably communicate through someone else who he can listen to, who he or she can listen to. In that way, your purpose is getting solved and you're not agitating the other person. The long-term remedy is to build good relationship with others, so that even if we tell something slightly agitating, they wouldn't mind. So that would involve a lot of humility from our side, where we need to invest time, energy in relationships. So is that clear?
Yes.
Anything else?
One more question. You mentioned that the work-life balance. Like, you know, it's like 8 hours work and then 8 hours you spend on spirituality. But then, today's day and age, you know, working especially in IT world, it's impossible to work only 8 hours. Like, you know, after coming home also, you have to study, you have to update your skills. So, how do you actually then balance it? Looking in a practical scenario, like this is the situation.
I couldn't balance it. When I had a choice, then I still appreciate how devotees, despite their work commitments, family commitments, they are up in the morning, they come for Mangalarti. Their Mangalarti attendance has put me in shame. So, how do we balance? We take that as an opportunity to pray to the Lord. to give you the intelligence. So each varna and ashrama will have its own way of purifying you. So with the family responsibilities, work commitments, then if your minimum 16 rounds of chanting and your minimum visiting the temple once in a week or twice a week, if even that is getting affected, then you should know that the work is getting too much. Every profession will have a peak period in their working calendar. Like some periods are going to be hectic. We know in advance, like say the financial year, when you have to close the accounts or things like that, or then quarterly, half yearly, they would know. This is in a particular industry, but some industries it will always be hectic, and in those cases you gain enough industry experience, and you may look at jobs like the skills that you know, you can qualify yourself to become a teacher for those particular IT skills, which is something that I tried. I had to do a certification for how to teach. So with this many years of experience in industry and this many technologies that you know, there are a lot of educational institutions which need teachers. But that is a calculated risk that you need to pay. You need to evaluate how much you are earning now, how much mortgage you have, how much will that other work will give you, and all that. So, but there are way out, because you are starting to pray to the Lord to give you the direction and appeal to the Lord. As I was hearing to Her Grace Urmila Mataji, she says, talk to the deities and pray to them personally. So they will give you the guidance, and use that struggle as an opportunity to pray to the Lord, and then also take the practical steps that are there, and keep an eye out for other jobs which are less hectic, and if it's financially viable, you may have to make the transition. You may have to work out how long will this take for me to pay off all the calculations. Then, if there's an opportunity, then switch. Maybe. Anyone else wants to add to that? Or
this varnashram is a system you are talking about, right?
Yeah.
Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra. In India, like a lot of people, they are like having problems with like discrimination of like this caste system and
yes.
On the reservation in society. So it's all like a big battleground in India. So how that is possible to implement this varnashram?
How is it possible to implement this varnashram in India, where it's a big battle between different castes? Okay, if there is a hot, say there is a hot khichdi on the plate, okay, you don't put hand straight in the center, you're going to be burnt. But if you start to eat from the corner or the edges of it, it won't be so hot. By the time you finished eating one around the corner, so then the rest of them will get cool. So the idea is not to get into the center of all the controversies. So that's going to create a lot of problems. So the option we are giving is, you come work with us, adopt a village, adopt few cows, and create a working model where a lot of them in India are looking for employment. If you are able to create a working model instead of criticizing the current model and spending time in fighting, that is like touching the center of all the controversies. So what we are saying is, we have the education facilities and the facilities to back you up in terms of taking that risk. Why don't you come work with us? We create an educational and also a living model, and people will naturally get attracted to it and they will come in. And once, what we are assuring you is, we don't discriminate based on that, based on your caste, creed and all that. By gradually convincing village after village and creating this model, so then even the government and others will start noticing it. And that's how you create. So instead of looking at the challenges, you need to be mindful of it. But the positive sign in India is that the government is also banning cow slaughter in many states, and they are encouraging agriculture and other production. So you need to keep your eyes open for the avenues through which you can implement the system. Then through a proper social implementation, then you can gradually change the heart of people. It will take a lot of time and effort. But we don't want to get land straight into the controversy right in the hot spot and get diffused and time and energy go to that. Rather we silently do our thing with whatever we have, pray to Krishna, pray the working model, and prove to the society that we are capable of implementing what we preach. Then you will get government funding, then people will start noticing us, people will start coming to live with us, then they will be more convinced. So rather than fighting with them, it's the same principle of Mahaprabhu. Don't try to kill the miscreants, but kill the negative or the demonic tendency in their heart. So that you can do by your own example, by giving them prasadam and making them chant. So I've seen in both in Eco Village, in Maharashtra, Wada, it's a community. Slowly the nearby villages are getting attracted, which were otherwise being preached to by others. So yeah, there are places within in India where it's being done, and within in Melbourne we have the Hare Krishna farm. So yeah, you can go and help out and see, test yourself how things work. Anything else? Anyone wants to add to any points that we discussed? Okay. Grantharasimha Bhagavatam Ki Jaya, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya.